They say time flies when you're getting old, but that's the way it is, isn't it? They say it flies when you're having fun. I think it flies when you're getting old. 10 years ago this morning, we had our first meeting at Petals, and just so thankful for the Lord's grace in enabling us to continue meeting for these 10 years and kept us faithful to the gospel. What a blessing. We're going to be looking at a passage of scripture this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The scriptures are written on two levels. The Word of God is written on the level of warning, and there are many, many warnings in the Word of God. The warnings are given in order to keep us from becoming presumptuous with the grace of God. The other level on which the Scriptures are written are promises. And the promises are given lest we fall into despair. Now, today is a day of thanksgiving in a special way, in that it marks, as I've mentioned already, 10 years of meeting together. And my initial thoughts as preparing for this morning was that there ought to be some promises, some words of great encouragement, some words of rejoicing for this day. And yet, as I prepared the messages, it seemed like the Holy Spirit was leading me more to extend words of warning. And not that these aren't reasons to rejoice, but I do believe and fear that we could, but for the grace of God, fall from grace, leave our first love, and forget the things that the Lord's taught us. So, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, at verse 5, the Apostle Paul, in warning Timothy of the perilous times that should come, he says that men will be, verse 2, lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. It is possible to have the form of godliness, but to deny the power of God. And I suppose if anything causes me to fear, it would be that we would fall into the trap of having a form of godliness and denying the power. What is it to deny the power of godliness while maintaining its form? Formalities. Maintaining some outward appearance of worship, some outward appearance of godliness, and yet denying the power. I suppose that if we wanted to phrase this in a more positive note, we could say, what is the power of godliness? What is the power of godliness? Well, I'm going to try to answer that with three answers. the power of godliness is to believe in the source of true godliness. To believe in the source of true godliness. The original cause, if you will, of our salvation. And that is the sovereign grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the source of all true godliness. When salvation is ultimately conditioned upon the will of man rather than the will of God, then the source of godliness is denied. The form of godliness is there, but the denying of its power. The Scripture says, He upholdeth all things by the word of His power. When He had by Himself purged our sin, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. To affirm, to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, in His sovereign will and sovereign purpose, is, in fact, the power of all godliness. He is the original cause of our salvation. It is not by him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it is of God that showeth mercy. The Scripture puts it like this in Ephesians chapter 1. John and Lorraine, I remember when you first came here, unbeknownst to yourselves, the Lord ordained for you to hear a message from Ephesians chapter 1. And never heard anything like that before. Well, here's what the Lord says in Ephesians 1. He predestined us unto Himself, or unto the adoption of children, by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. To maintain a form of godliness while denying the power of godliness is to deny that God, in His sovereign grace, in His sovereign purpose, and His sovereign will, is the original cause and the source of all salvation. If we ever consider any contribution that man makes to the sovereign will and purpose of God, then we have denied the power of godliness. Yes, man has a will, but it's not free. Man's will is bound to his nature. Man does what he wants to do, but he never, but for the grace of God, will ever want Christ. He cannot choose. He will not choose. God must first choose him. Our Lord said, You did not choose me. I chose you. Oh, that the Lord would keep us from ever denying the power of godliness and settling for a form of godliness. That's our prayer. Can it happen? Yeah. Happens all the time. Happens to individuals all the time. Happens to local assemblies all the time. And the Lord takes His hand off of those people and writes Ichabod. The glory of the Lord has departed across that congregation when His sovereign grace in salvation is denied. When man is given any credit for their salvation. The sovereign grace of God is responsible for our faith. For our faith. You say, well, aren't we saved by faith? It's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says we're saved by grace through faith. And that faith is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of our works, lest any man should boast. There is no boasting in salvation because the very cause of our salvation is the sovereign grace of God. The very hope of our salvation through faith is given by the grace of God. Paul puts it like this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, "For our gospel came not to you in word only, but also in power." Here's the power of godliness, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Where does assurance come? Assurance comes through faith. Paul said, our gospel did not come to you through word only. You didn't just hear it here, from here. No, it came to you in the power of godliness and in the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who regenerates the heart. The Holy Spirit is the one that takes out the heart of stone and puts in a heart of flesh. He's the one that opens the eyes and unstops the ears. This is the power of godliness. That we would have a form of godliness while denying its power would be to deny the work of the Holy Spirit in giving to us faith. Our Lord said, "I will make them willing in the day of my power. They shall be willing." The only hope we have is that there would be the power of God on the preaching of the gospel to the saving of our souls. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 11. "Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness." And Paul's praying 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. He's praying for the church at Thessalonica. He's saying, "I pray always for you that God would count you worthy of your calling, fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power." If we are to remain faithful, He'll have to work in us, causing us to will and to do His good pleasure. He'll have to give to us that gift of grace. That's the power of godliness. To deny our Lord's power in giving faith, I don't care what the outward appearance of our religiosity might be, we can have a form of godliness and deny the power if we deny Christ His glory in that. And then, of course, the sovereign grace of God in salvation is credited for our perseverance, our ability to maintain our trust in Christ is the work of grace, isn't it? That's the power of God. If God didn't keep us, we will fall. Someone said, "Well, you've changed so many times in your life. What's to keep you from changing again?" The grace of God. And if He doesn't keep you and doesn't keep me, we will change. We will change. You say, "Well, I found the truth now, I'm not going to change." Yeah, you will change. You will forsake everything but for the grace of God. We are kept by the power of God. You're there in 2 Thessalonians. Turn over a few pages to 1 Peter chapter 1. 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." This is His work. What did you and I have to do with the resurrection of Christ? To an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept, how? By the power of God, through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Kept. To deny the keeping power of God. Say, well, is it possible to lose your salvation? Is that what you're suggesting? No. Well, it depends on who saved you, doesn't it? If you saved yourself, or if someone else talked you into being saved, then yeah, you can lose that. But if God saved you, it's not going to happen, because He is committed to keeping us, isn't He? He's committed to it. And our dependence is upon Him to do just that. And if He doesn't keep us, well, turn with me to the book of Jude. You're there in the New Testament, the latter part of the New Testament. Right before the book of Revelation. Jude 24. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be all the glory and all the majesty and all the dominion and all the power, both now and forevermore. He's the one that presents us faultless. He's the one that keeps us. To have a form of godliness and to deny the power of that thereof, to deny the power of godliness thereof, is to deny God His glory in salvation. He is the original cause of our salvation. He is the dispenser of faith. He is the one that keeps us. And if we fall away, it is because we were never really His. To deny the power of godliness is to deny the means or instrumental cause of our salvation. Some deny the necessity of the gospel for salvation. They say or suggest that one can hear a lie and still be saved. People will profess salvation under a false gospel. Well, my response to that is, what does the truth have to do with anything if that be the case? What's the truth have to do with anything? Why be concerned about the truth? Why distinguish the difference? Why not cast our lot into those who are having much more success in gathering converts? If God's going to just save people through a lie, then what's the point? No, the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, this gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. To deny the instrumental cause of salvation, to suggest that the gospel is not necessary for salvation, is to have a form of godliness, but to deny the power thereof. You're there in Jude. Turn back a few pages to 1 Peter chapter 1. We looked at this verse Wednesday night. Wayne Land, when you preached for us a year or two ago, I can't remember when it was, you made reference to this verse, and when I listened to that message, it stood out to me like I'd never seen it before. And we looked at this verse Wednesday night, but I want us to look at it again. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And I hear a lot of conservative, right-wing evangelicals saying, amen. Preach the word. And this is the word. You see, preaching the word is not just preaching from the Bible. This is the word, which by the gospel is preached unto you. If the scriptures are not preached in the context of the gospel, it is Christ that's preached, then the word of God's not been preached. I don't care if the Bible's been used and quoted, it's not the Word of God. The Word of God only becomes the Word of God. The written Word of God only becomes the Word of God when it's inseparably linked to the living Word of God, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and His work. Otherwise, it's just a book. Just words on a page. This word is preached by the gospel. You see that? By the gospel. To deny the necessity of the gospel is to deny the power of godliness. For the gospel is the instrumental cause of our salvation, the preaching of the gospel. God is pleased to use the foolishness of preaching. If we ever fall into some other method of worship than preaching the gospel, then we've taken on a form of godliness and denied the power thereof. Now, my third answer to this question, what is it to have a form of godliness, but to deny the power thereof? What is this that we must at all cost avoid? We've answered that with two responses so far, denying the original cause of salvation, denying the instrumental cause of salvation. The third point is equally important, and that is to deny the results of salvation. The results of salvation. To come to some erroneous conclusion that, well, we're all sinners and so let's just not worry about it. It's not what the Scriptures teach. There, when salvation is worked out by the Spirit of God, it changes. It changes a person, doesn't it? And to deny the results of salvation is to deny the power of God. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 19. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and I will know not the speech of them that are puffed up, but the power. Talk's easy, isn't it? Talk's easy. Paul says, when I come, I'm going to know not what you say. I'm going to know what you do. And this power is the expression of love for Christ and love for His people. For the kingdom of God is not in word only, but in power. Life-changing power. What will ye? What do you prefer? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love? What is the power? What is the result of the gospel? It is love. It is love. Love is of God. He that loveth knoweth God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God. It is the crowning glory of saving faith. It is the fulfillment of the law of Christ. The law of faith is the law of love. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he sows to the flesh, he'll reap corruption. If he sows to the Spirit, he'll reap life everlasting. There is a result of this gospel. So I thought we were just all sinners. Isn't that what Paul said in Romans chapter 7? He said, that which I don't want to do, that I do. And that which I would do, that I do not. Now you think about that for just a minute. Don't use Romans chapter 7 to justify behavior that you know is evil in the sight of God. You think the Apostle Paul was saying, well, you know, I didn't want to do those things. I didn't want to. Well, you just fill in the blank. That's not what he was talking about at all. Paul, a single man, traveling, preaching the gospel, you think he was a fornicator? Is that what he was talking about? Obviously not. I didn't want to do those things. This is the fear, isn't it? That we'll have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. What was Paul talking about in Romans chapter 7? Here's what he was saying. I want to be absolutely, perfectly holy. I want to be without sin in thought, in attitude, in action. I want to be just like Christ. And every time I turn around, I've got this old flesh with me. And I cannot be what I want to be. And the flesh wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit wars against the flesh, so that they cannot be what they would. Without the presence of the Spirit of God, we'd be absolute, utter devils. And without the presence of our flesh, we would be sinless. And that's our hope one day, isn't it? To shed this flesh and see Him as He is and be made like Him. But we don't use our liberty or the presence of our flesh to justify sin. That is denying the power of God. No, He works in us. He works in us, causing us to will and to do His good pleasure. Turn with me there in 1 Corinthians. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So, well, I thought we were just earthen vessels. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Here's the power of God. To shine forth His glory, to enable us to look upon His face. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Lord, if You didn't keep me, if You didn't cause me to believe and to follow after You, I wouldn't do it. Wednesday night we looked at the parable of the four soils in Luke chapter 8. You remember that parable. Some of the seed fell on the roadside soil, that beaten, trodden path, and the birds came and picked away the seed, and it was forgotten. And the seed is the gospel that's being preached. There are those that are on the path of life along with everybody else. The beaten, trodden pathway. The path that is wide, and many there are that go. And on occasion, they happen upon a gospel church, and they hear the Word of God preached according to the gospel, and they soon forget it. There are those who are on stony soil, aren't they? The word falls, it springs up quickly. But when the heat of the sun rises and persecution comes, it soon withers because there's no root to it, and it dies. There are some who are caught up in the things of this world, the cares and the pleasures of this world, the Scripture says, and they are the ones in the thorny soil, and they're choked out, and they bear no fruit. And there are those who are good soil, and the seed falls there, and it bears forth much fruit. Fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of peace and joy and love for Christ. To deny the fruit bearing is to deny the power of godliness. To maintain a form of godliness and to deny its power? Well, I can tell you, after 10 years, that is my greatest fear. My greatest fear is that we will forsake the power of godliness. That you will forsake it. That I will forsake it. And so the Lord's warned us, hasn't He? Don't maintain a form of godliness while denying its power. 128 times the word dunamis, that's the Greek word for power, is used in the New Testament. All our hope is resting upon the power of God. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word. We are brought to cry with the apostles, Lord, is it I? Oh, Lord, it could be. We pray that You'd keep us. We thank You that You have kept us. We would have fallen away. We need You more now than we've ever needed You before. We ask for Your glory that You would do it. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.